desirable property. Cottage, secluded position adjoining woodland, needs renovation but excellent potential. Two beds, recept, kitchen, bathroom, half acre garden. Offers invited, Cantrip 6612.
Do you believe in magic? Not telemagic. Rabbits out of hats, card tricks, sawing the lady in half. Or the sad bad magic I knew before I met Midge. Chemical magic from powders and pills. No. I mean, real magic. The magic that we found when we came to the cottage. When we came to Grammarie.
The Magic Cottage by James Herbert. Dramatized by Gregory Evans, with music by Neil Brand.
Well, what do you think?
Cantrip? Where the hell's Cantrip?
Hampshire, in the New Forest.
So not too far from London, then?
Right in the New Forest.
Oh, sounds okay. Should I make some more coffee?
This is it, Mike. This is the place we've been looking for. I just know it.
That was Sunday. Tuesday, Midge and I drove down to Cantrip. We can take off like that because we're both freelance. I'm a session musician, guitar, rock and pop mostly. Midge is an illustrator, kids' books, highly successful and, in my unbiased opinion, totally brilliant. Anyway, Cantrip. Weird name. The drive down was great. Fine May morning, trees and grass and all that jazz. At last, about 2 hours out of London, we crossed a humpback bridge and found ourselves in Cantrip.
Every day, it's a getting faster go.
Oh.
I expected something a bit more heritagey, you know? Thatched cottages, old inns.
Mike, stop! Bickleshift!
What?
That's the estate agents!
Yeah. Bickleshift. Really. I kid you not.
Ah, yes, the cottage, of course. Flora Caldian's roundhouse.
Roundhouse?
You'll understand when you see it.
Flora Caldian's the owner?
Was. She died a few months ago.
Oh, dear.
She was awfully old. Bit of a recluse, too. A local character.
So who owns the place now?
Niece, I believe. Living in Canada. She instructed Mrs. Caldian's solicitor to put the cottage on the market. Now, I imagine you'd like to view the property. I won't accompany you, but I will draw you a map.
Midge, are you sure this is right?
Yes, keep going.
And these trees are trying to climb in with us.
I can see it!
Where?
That splash of white there!
A sweeping bend, and there was the cottage, set back from the road behind a low, weathered fence. As we pulled up by the gate, I could see a sign in beautiful, peeling script.
Grammarie.
Another weird name.
Oh, Mike, it's enchanting.
Flora Caldian's Roundhouse. It was round, too, yeah. The main part was just an oblong box, same as any other cottage. But at one end, the wall swelled and curved away into an amazing round room, like a sort of sawed-off tower.
I knew it, Mike. I knew it!
You're disappointed, I can see. You want to go home?
Bring the keys!
Hey, little Miss Eager, wait for me.
Mike, I can see through the window.
What an amazing variety of weeds. They're all so healthy, too. It's a pity the flowers are all dying.
Oh, it's empty.
Well, what do you expect?
Well, I thought there might be Flora's furniture.
They probably flogged it all off or had a bonfire.
Oh, it's perfect, Mike.
Midge, you haven't seen the inside yet, and it needs a lot of dosh spending on it. I can see that from here. A new roof, repointing.
It'll be good for my work. Yours, too. It's so tranquil.
Yeah, but don't forget, today the sun is shining, the sky is blue.
There's not a cloud to spoil the view.
But it's raining
in my heart.
I'm serious, Midge. Come winter, we could get snowed in.
Gosh, yes. I'll have to stay in bed for days. Getting get up to all sorts of tricks to keep ourselves warm.
Midge, be sensible.
I am. Feel the place, Mike. Close your eyes. No, close them. And really feel it. Grammary will be so good for us.
You know, with my eyes shut, it gets a lot better. No peeling paint, no rotting wood.
Come on, you old cynic. Let's look inside.
Maybe they're the wrong keys.
It says Grammary on the label.
Oh, it's no good, Midge. It just won't turn. Nah. Either the lock's rusted solid or Bickleshift screwed up.
Let me try.
What?
Well, I must have the knack. After you.
No, after you. It's damp.
Look at this old range, Mike.
Hmm?
Like something out of a fairy tale.
Where the wicked witch boils up newts and babies to make her spells.
Amazing chimney.
Hey, Midge, be careful. You see that crack? If that lintel collapses, the whole chimney breast will come down. God, dear. Blimey, have you seen this sink? You could bathe a Shetland pony in it. Well, either old Flora had brown ale on tap or the tank's very rusty.
Let's look upstairs. See that round room.
Oh, I can't wait.
Watch that middle step. It's lower than the rest.
Yeah, I used to do that on purpose. Sort of a primitive burglar alarm.
Oh, Mike. It's beautiful.
Sunlight hit me, and for an instant I felt I was floating. Only Midge, clutching my hand, saved me from toppling back down the stairs. I was in the round room. The sun blazed, and the landscape beyond the large windows was so clear. Every leaf, every blade of grass stood out. The sky was the purest blue I'd ever seen.
Mike, are you okay?
Yeah, well, I felt a little dizzy for a moment there. Well, it must be the change in altitude. I'm fine now. Oh, wow. Oh, this is something else.
Puts a different complexion on things, doesn't it?
God, you know, Midge, this place is beginning to work on me too.
That's your best offer?
It's stretching our finances to the limit, Mr. Bickleshift.
It's way past it. That old place needs a hell of a lot of work.
My valuation took that into account, Mr. Stringer. I realise you're very taken by Grammary. I'm sorry.
Well, what if we can raise another 1,000?
Oh, Midge, won't we get another 1,000?
I'll borrow it from that.
There'd still be a shortfall of £6,000.
Oh, Mr. Bickleshift, come on.
I have an obligation to my client, as well as several other prospective buyers wishing to view. Console yourselves with the thought that it was simply not meant to be.
There's an old Chinese proverb I just made up that goes, when luck comes in the door, numbers go out the window. This piece of luck came in three stages. The first was the next morning at 8:30. As usual, I was dead to the world.
Mike! Oh. Mike! Wake up! Wake up!
Oh, Midge! Oh, no, please!
Val's here!
Oh, God.
She's got some amazing news. She was trying to reach me all day yesterday.
Midge, will you get off me?
Listen, she had a call from the art director at Gross & Newby.
I thought you hated that agency.
I love them. They've got a big presentation next week, children's clothes, and they want me to do the artwork. Three posters.
At a sour piece.
Unless you're 20%.
Naturally.
Mike, that takes us halfway there.
It's great news, Midge, but we're still more than £3,000 adrift.
That was stage one. Stage two came an hour or so later. Midge had left for the agency with Val. I was in the kitchen eating a bacon sarnie and flicking through the NME.
Mm. All right.
Mike, are you around next week?
Bob, old mate, how's it going?
Phil Collins is doing a new tour.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just reading about it. You offering me tickets?
I'm offering you a job, man. He needs a rhythm player.
Then came the third piece of luck. Even then it seemed a little weird, the way it all fitted so neatly. Yep.
Mr. Stringer, Bickleshift here.
Oh, Mr. Bickleshift, hi.
After you and Miss Gudgeon left yesterday, yeah. I took the liberty of getting in touch with Flora Caldian's executor.
Why?
Mr. Ogbourne, the solicitor handling the estate, asked me to keep him advised of, the type of purchaser interested in the property. It seems old Flora included certain stipulations in her will.
Stipulations?
You must speak to Mr. Ogbourne directly, Mr. Stringer. He'd like to see you tomorrow, you and your partner, at his office in Lyndhurst.
Miss Gudgeon, what do you do?
I'm sorry, Mr. Ogbourne?
For a living, if you don't mind my asking.
Oh, I'm an illustrator, mainly of children's books.
Ah. And Mr. Stringer?
I'm a musician. I play guitar.
Oh. Do either of you know anyone in this part of the world?
No. Not a soul.
Even so, you do intend to live in Grammarly, not rent it out, for example.
Absolutely. Live and work.
We want to make it our home.
Is all this relevant, Mr. Ogbourne?
I'm afraid it is, rather. You see, Flora Caldian's will contains certain...
stipulations. Yeah, Bickleshift told me.
It's understandable, I suppose. Flora lived in Grammarly for over 80 years. All her life, more or less.
She never married?
She was married, briefly, yes. During the Second World War. Sadly, her husband was killed in action.
Well, how did the old dear support herself out there in the back of beyond?
Mrs. Caldian was known in these parts as a healer. Nothing spectacular. Herbal potions for ailing locals. Aches and pains, sore throats, that sort of thing. She also had a wonderful way with sick or injured animals. I believe that brought in a little money.
Speaking of money, Mr. Ogbourne...
Ah, yes. Now, there has been considerable interest in this property. Six other prospective buyers have offered the full price. One has offered considerably more.
So, where does that leave us?
Sitting pretty, Miss Gudgeon, because only you fulfil all of Flora's stipulations. So, I suggest a reduction to the asking price of £3,000?
The next 6 weeks passed in a blur. The Phil Collins tour was a sellout and it was great to be back on the road. I was on a 2-week high that had nothing to do with illegal substances. Midge finished her posters for the ad agency and started work on a book. We only managed to get down to the cottage twice, but it looked better each time. As soon as contracts were exchanged, I sent in a firm of local builders with a long list of faults. The morning they started, I got an odd call from the foreman.
You're a pessimistic man, Mr. Stringer.
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
This list, work to be done. Cracked lintel, damp bedroom, rusty water tank. I can do it all if you really want me to, Mr. Stringer. But you'll be wasting your hard-earned.
Well, I'm still not with you, Mr. O'Malley. What exactly is the problem?
Well, for a start, the hearthstone. There's no crack there that I can see.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at it as I speak to you now, Mr. Stringer. Sound as a bell. And even with all this rain we've been having, there's no damp anywhere that I can find. None at all.
It's very odd. I'm very odd.
You're right. An honest builder.
We made that list together. Those faults were there. You know they were.
Well, I admit, it is a bit peculiar. But don't complain about it. We've got enough other stuff to spend the money on.
Then, suddenly, it was moving day. Baron's Court to the back of beyond in one bold leap. Daunting. That evening, we stood in the doorway of our new home and watched the removal van disappear around the curve in the road.
Grammarly means so much to me already.
The birds seem pleased to see us. I've never seen so many different kinds. Look, even the flowers have spruced themselves up.
Must be all that rain.
No need to go far for your inspiration here.
The forest is so dark and mysterious, like a magic wood in a fairy tale.
It's more like in a horror movie, if you ask me. What time do the street lamps come on?
City boy.
Country girl.
I wish Mum and Dad could have seen Grammarly. They'd have loved it here, too.
Hey, Midge. Shh.
sorry. I don't mean to spoil everything. It's just that it was so horribly cruel.
Now forget that, Midge. Remember the good things and think how proud they'd be of you now.
But that's what hurts most. That they can never know. About my work, you, about this place. Hold me, Mike. Hold me close.
Don't let the sorrow taint everything else. Be happy. It's what your parents would have wanted.
Oh, I am happy. I am.
Come on, babe. Let's go to bed.
When we made love on that first night in Grammarly, it was something else. With Midge and me, it was always good, but this was on the far side of heaven. When we woke after a good night's sleep, it was even better. Magic. Yeah. Magic. We spent the morning unpacking, breaking off to feed the birds that came flocking to our door. Wrens, finches, bluetits, wagtails. Or so Midge said. Me, I can barely tell a canary from an albatross.
They're so tame. I've never seen birds this tame.
Oh, maybe Flora used to feed them.
Mike, look.
Huh? Hey, St. Francis, mind they don't crap on your hands.
Come on, that's it. Come on, you two. That's it.
Later, Midge went into Cantrip for supplies and I went to the attic where my music gear had been dumped and where I intended to practice. To check the acoustics, I picked out the pride of my guitars, a Martin 28. I thought it would need tuning after the move, but the sound was rich and full.
Oh, wow!
The people in the shops were very friendly, once I told them where I live.
Did I tell you anything about old Mark Gaulian?
My, don't call her that.
Oh. Sorry, Flora, it's just my uncouth way.
They all seemed in awe of her, though I don't think any of them knew her that well.
They tell you how she died?
Old age, I think. Oh. Hope she didn't suffer out here.
Well, social services probably kept an eye on her. She must have been lonely, though.
No. I'm sure she wasn't. Flora was never lonely in Grammarly.
Midge, you're getting weird on me now.
It's this place. Makes you thoughtful. Come on, Mike. Let's go for a walk.
Okay, let me see if I've got this now. That one over there, that big sort of dark red one, that's an oak, right?
It's a beech, Mike.
Beech, right. Yeah, let me find a pen and write that down.
I hope you're not as dumb as you're pretending. That would be really tragic.
Oh, wow, Midge, look at these. Talking about pixies and elves.
Careful.
What, are they poisonous?
They're fly agaric mushrooms. Let's just say they probably wouldn't kill you.
Oh, but they're so pretty. Hey, I wonder if there's any...
No, Mike. No magic mushrooms in Hampshire, as far as I know.
Hey, Midge, come on. You know I wouldn't touch anything like that.
It scares me, Mike. If anything happened,
that
like...
That was 4 years ago. I'm a reformed character now.
You were almost an ex-character. I love you too much. If you ever do that again, I won't sit by your bed and hold your hand. I'll be out of the door. You might have been brain damaged.
Yeah. But who could they tell? Grammar is getting to me, Midge. You've come over all rural all of a sudden. Come here.
No, Mike, no!
Gotcha!
Mike, no, don't tickle Mike!
What? Midge.
Oh, Mike. Good Lord.
Hmm? What is it?
Look over there.
Oh. Oh, it must be the local manor house.
The setting's beautiful, but the building's a bit grim, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, it's that grey stone. It makes a house gloomy even in sunshine.
I wonder who lives there.
Well, someone with more money than we'll ever see. Someone who likes their privacy.
Mike, shh!
What's wrong?
Can't you hear it? The bird. Oh, you poor little guy. It's all right. Shh. It's a missile thrush. Oh, Mike, look at her.
Oh.
The wing's mangled, but there's no blood. She must have caught it in something.
Well, what should we do with her?
Take her to Grammarly. In the morning, I'll find a local vet.
Oh, Mid, she'll never fly again. Her wing's too badly injured.
Well, we can't leave her here. She won't last the night. Come on, Mike. Let's go. I'd hate to get lost in the woods.
That evening, we relaxed in the round room. The damaged thrush was down in the kitchen in a box lined with an old sweater. Midge lay on the carpet, her head propped on cushions, as I took my favourite acoustic out of its case and played.
Mike, that was brilliant.
Yeah, I was rather good, wasn't I?
You never played so well.
Jeez, I feel... God, incredible. I seem to be a power.
Play again.
Well, no, I don't think so. Quit while you're ahead, right? I feel tired, but wired too, you know. I might step outside for some air. You coming?
No. I want to stay here for a little longer. Then I'm going to bed. Don't be too long.
I won't.
There's magic in Grammarly, Mike. And it's working on us both.
The air was cool. In the darkness, the trees seemed to crowd closer to the cottage. I stepped into the starlit garden. Whatever power had been flowing through me as I played was draining away now, and I felt tipsy, though I'd hardly been drinking. And then I saw it. A dark figure at the edge of the forest.
Hey! Hey, you! Step out of there! Show yourself! Come on!
The wind blew, the shadows shifted, and I realised there was nothing there. I went inside up to bed, where Midge was waiting for me. Afterwards, I fell into a deep, dreamless sleep. The next morning, she had a job to wake me up.
Mike?
Yeah.
Mike? For goodness sake, wake up.
Mm-hmm. Midge.
Look, Mike. Look.
What? Oh, Midge, not another bird. Oh, what's wrong with this one? Looks okay to me.
It's not another bird. It's the same bird, our missile thrush.
What?
Yes, and she is okay. See? She can fly.
Are you pulling my leg?
Look at her wing.
It's incredible. She's so tame.
See the ragged feathers?
Maybe her wing was dislocated and somehow in the night it got itself straight again.
Her wing was broken, Mike, and now it's not. More magic.
We worked like navvies all day, unpacking, bringing order to chaos. At last, as the sun sank into the trees and the forest grew dark, I climbed the stairs to the round room, chose a guitar and began to play. I thought Midge was in the kitchen, but when I stopped for a moment, I heard voices in the garden below, so I went down.
Mike, I was calling you.
Sorry, you know what I'm like when I'm playing.
Come and meet our first visitors.
Hi, I'm Mike Stringer.
Hub Kinsella.
Jilly Slade, welcome to your new home, Mike. I'm sure you'll like it here.
Oh, thanks, I already do.
Mike, you know the house we saw on our walk yesterday?
Yeah, that big grey pile.
Hub and Jilly live there.
Oh, well, what, all by yourselves?
No, there are quite a few of us.
So what is it, some kind of health farm?
No, it's not a health farm.
You must come and visit us sometime. We'll show you around. Hub, can I give them the present now?
Sure.
One of our sisters is a wonderful cook, so when we knew you'd moved in, we asked her to bake you a cake. Here, I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. You sure you won't come in?
No, really, it's late and we've got to be getting back.
We exchanged a few more pleasantries, then walked Hub and Jilly to an old Citroen de Chavaux parked just outside the gate. They waved as they drove off into the gathering dusk.
What friendly people.
A bit too friendly, if you ask me.
Oh, you're such an old cynic. They were being neighbourly.
Yeah, but what kind of neighbours are they? She and this Ginny called the cake maker her sister.
So, they're in some kind of religious order. What does it matter? Oh, I've done it. I'm going to have an early night.
Yeah, me too. Midge?
Yeah?
What's that? There, under the trees.
I can't see anything.
There's a dark figure, watching.
Mike, there's nothing there.
In the days that followed, we both got offers of work, but we decided to spend a full month fixing up Grammarly, so we gritted our teeth, said no, and went back to the cleaning and painting. Hub and Jilly dropped in from time to time, but all our other visitors were furred or feathered. The missel thrush would fly right into the kitchen. Mice, birds, squirrels, even foxes looked in. One morning, when I was in Cantrip buying yet more paint, I saw Jilly loading bags into a de chevaux. Three punky-looking teenagers were paying her unwanted attention. Now, I'm no hero, and my first instinct was to pretend I hadn't noticed. And then one of the punks shoved Jilly and she went down, so I thought, what the hell?
Yeah, weirdos! Freaks! Go back where you came from!
Yeah, we don't want you around here!
Yeah, all right.
Hey, watch it!
You okay, Jilly?
Yes, thanks, Mike.
Well, let me help you out. Okay, the fun's over, so get lost now.
Yeah, you're gonna make us.
Yeah, if you don't leave this woman alone, I just might do.
Mike, look out!
You bastard, you broke my nose!
I warned you. Now, how about you two?
You're gonna regret that. We're gonna make you suffer.
Yeah, just let me out. Yeah.
Boys!
What is going on here?
These thugs were trying to assault me. Mr. Stringer here stopped them.
Well, I don't know about that. Miles Carver, isn't it? Yeah. I shall talk to your father about this. And yours. Now go home. Go on, clear off.
It's all your fault, Miles. Stupid tosser. What's
your idea? It's lucky you came along, Red.
Yes. I'm sorry it happened, of course. But you people do seem to provoke this sort of thing.
What?
Mike, I'm going now. Say hi to Mitch for me.
Okay, Jilly, take care. Come and see us in Grammarly soon.
Oh. You're the couple who've moved into Flora Caldian's cottage.
Well, half the couple. I'm Mike Stringer.
I see. Peter Sixsmith, vicar of this parish. Are you well acquainted with that young lady and her friends?
Not really. Well, they've dropped in a few times. They seem very neighbourly.
Might I come over to see you tomorrow?
Yeah, of course. I'll tell Midge to expect you.
Your wife?
Girlfriend.
Did you know your new friends belong to a sect called the Synergist Temple?
No.
They never mentioned it?
No, never.
I'm late for an appointment now, but we'll talk tomorrow. Until then, be careful of those people, Mr. Stringer. Be very careful.
Those people, in the shape of Hub Kinsella, called into Grammarly that evening. Midge and I were sitting in the garden after supper. A storm was brewing and the air was close and heavy. After presenting me with a bottle of homemade wine as a reward for my Sir Galahad act, Hub got to the point.
So what did the Reverend Sixsmith have to say about us?
That you were a religious community, the Synergist Temple, right? Hmm.
Synergist? What is that exactly, Hub?
It's the belief that the human will and the divine spirit can work together to produce a unique power.
What kind of power?
Well, the power to influence, to create, to cure. Most religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, use prayer as a way to access this power. We've been taught by our founder to use a more direct method.
Your founder?
Eldridge Mycroft. A very unique man.
And he lives at the house?
The temple, yes, that's right.
Are there many of you there?
Sorry, what?
I asked if there were many of you at the temple.
Yes, quite a few. Come over and see us. You'll find it quite an experience.
Well, I don't know. We've got a lot to do and...
Hey, Mike. We won't try to convert you. That's not how we work. Look, I gotta go. Don't forget now. Come and see us. And thanks again, Mike. You've saved Jilly's life.
Hardly.
Bye, Hub.
So long.
Was it something I said?
It's odd. Maybe he's scared of thunder.
Midge dashed into the cottage to close the windows while I grabbed glasses and cups. I looked up and saw again the dark figure at the edge of the forest, blurred by the rain. It moved forward, a single step, and I fled inside. I spent the following morning up in my rehearsal room, arranging amps, speakers, DAT machines. It was hours before I went downstairs to find that the Reverend Sixsmith had already arrived.
We meet again, Mr. Stringer.
Mike, please. Sorry, I didn't hear you arrive.
No matter. Midge and I have been having a most interesting chat.
The vicar's been telling me about Flora Caldium. Apparently she's quite a healer.
Yeah, Mr. Ogbourne mentioned it. Herbs and potions?
Oh, more than just old country remedies, Mike. Flora could cure simply by talking or laying on her hands.
Faith healing?
I'm sure some of it was faith. But she cured animals too. Cows, ponies, local pets. And they don't have faith, do they?
You make it sound like magic.
The word grammary means magic. Did you know that?
Yes.
No. You never told me, Midge.
Oh, I meant to. Sorry.
Magic? Well, isn't that a rather odd thing for a vicar to endorse?
Oh, the Bible's full of it. Resurrections, miracles, even conjuring tricks. Water into wine. I dare say Paul Daniels could do that.
What?
I'm pulling your leg. Flora was a remarkable old lady, though. No doubt about it. Talking of which, these synergist people. I understand they visit you here.
From time to time, yes.
Well, what's that got to do with Mrs. Caldium?
They used to visit her too, I'm afraid.
You're afraid?
She begged them not to, but they kept on coming.
What, you mean they harassed the old lady?
There were certainly rumours of that.
That's very strange, Reverend. The two we've met couldn't be more friendly. Mm.
It's a strange cult, Midge, with a strange leader.
Eldritch Mycroft.
You know.
Mm.
Do you also know that they entice people from their families, virtually brainwash them to accept their ways?
You make them sound like the Moonies.
If all that's true, why haven't the cops stepped in?
There are no minors involved. No laws have been broken. They're even a registered charity.
Well, then.
But they are sinister and secretive and quite possibly evil.
Evil?
Oh, come on.
Yes. Well, that's what I came to tell you. I'm sorry if you find it unpalatable.
Oh, but please don't go yet, Reverend. I'd like you to tell us something else. How Flora Caldium died?
As far as I'm aware, the synergists were not involved in Flora's death.
Oh, I didn't imagine they were. I'd just like to know. I've been wondering for a while now.
Yeah, me too.
Flora Caldium was well into her 80s. Old age. That's what killed her. Unfortunately, because she was a recluse, there was some confusion. People claimed to have seen her just a day or two before the body was found. Impossible, of course.
Why impossible?
Because, well, you see, I found the body.
You did?
I used to pop in from time to time, although she never came to church. One day I called in. My visit was very overdue. And I saw her through the kitchen window, sitting here at the table, like we are now. I tapped on the window. She didn't move. I tried the door. It was locked, which was very unusual. So, well, I forced entry and...
She was dead?
More than just dead. Flora's body was corrupted, crawling with maggots. Oh. It was very clear she'd been dead for weeks. Indeed, the coroner confirmed it. So, those people who said they'd seen her a day or two before were obviously mistaken. Sad. Very sad.
Why did he do it? Just plain insensitive, I suppose. Prat. The vicar's graphic account of Flora's death didn't spoil grammary for us. Nothing could do that, but it certainly took the shine off for a while. Midge went very quiet. And that night, I dreamed I was taking tea with Flora down in the kitchen. White, wriggling things dropped from her hand as she passed me the cup. So the following day, when I suggested we take a break from decorating, Midge agreed eagerly. We found a pub on the far side of the forest. I drove there, Midge drove back.
It doesn't sound healthy, Mike. And that red light's been glaring at me for the last 10 miles.
We'll glare back at it, then.
Thanks.
Stay steady, 13. Don't rev the engine. We'll be home in 10 minutes. Now, I've come over a bit tired. I'm going to shut my eyes.
Oh, I knew you shouldn't have had that third pint. Oh, no. Mike.
What?
Mike, wake up.
Come on. What's that fog?
That fog is from the engine.
Major meltdown in here.
Can you fix it?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Quick Fit me.
Well, this looks like Chilli coming.
What? Oh, great. She can chant a mantra over it.
Or she could drive us to a garage. Mike, are you sure you should be doing that?
Yeah, of course. Got to relieve the pressure inside the radiator, then top it up.
My arm, Mitch, my arm!
Oh, Lord, Mitch, what did he do? Something stupid!
Oh, thanks.
We'll take him to the temple. He needs a hospital, Jimmy.
Right.
Mitch, the nearest hospital's 20 miles away. The temple's 2 minutes. We'll take him there, do something about the pain. Then he can go to hospital afterwards, if he needs it. If he needs it!
I must have passed out. Next thing I remember, I was being helped up a flight of broad stone steps and through a big double door. People appeared. Hubkins Cellar, others I didn't recognise.
Can we put his arm in cold water?
We can do much more than that.
Cold water would be good.
Mike, welcome to the temple. Is the pain very bad?
Compared to what?
Sandy, tell Mycroft. Explain everything. Neil, gather the others. Now.
Right.
Okay, Mike. Through here. Try to get you comfortable.
We must do something.
We will, Midge. Be patient. Sit here, Mike. Lay your arm on the table.
Thank you, Hub.
Master.
Mike. Midge. I've heard all about you. I realize you're in great pain, Mike. Jilly, the bowl.
Coming, Master. What is it?
Looks like washing up liquid.
It's antiseptic. Hub, fetch them in.
Master.
Mitch, I don't like this.
Wait, give it a chance.
Join hands.
Anger, anger, anger.
Mike.
Anger.
I'm going to raise your arm now and place it in the liquid.
No, really, I'd rather you didn't touch it.
Don't worry. The pain will soon be gone.
Yeah, the next season Palace will win the cup.
That's it. Right down into the bowl. Immerse it completely.
Mitch. And I believe it. It doesn't hurt anymore.
That night I slept like a baby. I woke the next day expecting the effects of whatever painkiller they put in the fairy liquid to have worn off. I gritted my teeth, waiting for the agony to kick in. It didn't. Gingerly, I lifted my arm from the bedclothes, expecting to see a raw, swollen mess pushing through the bandages.
Midge! Midge, wake up!
Mike, what?
It's my arm! There's no pain at all!
Are you sure?
Yes, look! Look, I can move my fingers. Wait, stay there. My God. I never thought I'd be able to do that again. I'm going to take off the bandage.
Oh, Mike, no. I don't think you should.
Well, maybe this will bring me to my senses. Oh, my God.
Mike.
What did you think? It had turned purple? No. It was perfect. No blisters, no scars. The most beautiful arm in the world. Even so, it still caused an argument later that day.
Mike, you've got to come.
I'll say thanks to Hub next time I see him.
Mycroft and his followers probably saved your career. Do you realise that?
Maybe.
So come with me. We'll take these flowers and say thank you properly.
I'm sorry, Midge. I know it's ungracious. Childish, too, but I don't like that man. I don't care for any of them much. Synergism. Gives me the creeps.
You sound like the vicar.
Yeah, well, maybe Sixsmith is right. Maybe they are a bunch of dangerous phonies.
Phonies? Mike, your arm.
I've been thinking about that. What if they didn't do it?
What?
What if it was Grammarly?
I don't get you.
Well, what if Grammarly healed me like it healed that thrush? This place is doing something to us, Midge, making us more alive. My playing, your art. I've seen those sketches you're doing. They're brilliant. Sex, too. Am I right?
We're in the country now. Breathing clean air, drinking water that hasn't already passed through 10 other people.
Well, it's more than that. It's...
Oh, Mike, grow up. You may be too ill-mannered to say thank you to the synergist, but I'm not. Goodbye.
The irony is that deep down, Midge agreed with me. She'd suspected for a while that there was something weird about Grammarly, but she daren't admit it. She loved the place too much. Didn't want to spoil it. I decided to let her go, give her a chance to cool off. Also decided that we were getting too claustrophobic down here. For 3 weeks we'd seen no one apart from Sixsmith and the synergists, and they were part of the problem. So I called my old mate Bob and Midge's agent Val. I asked them down for supper that Saturday night. Then I got down my guitar and waited for Midge. And waited. And waited.
Hi. You've been gone a long time.
Have I?
Who did you see, Hub and Jilly?
No. Mycroft.
Wow! The main man, Guru Numero Uno.
Mike, please.
What'd you talk about?
Death.
Oh, right, yeah, the usual cheery small talk.
Mycroft believes it's possible to see to the other side.
Of what?
Of death, Mike. The other side of death.
Is there anybody there? Knock twice for yes, once for no.
According to Mycroft, when the human will is tuned to the divine spirit, our perceptions become heightened, and we can be united with the undying essence of those who lived.
It's Uncle George.
Oh, I might have known you wouldn't get it. I'm stuck in your jokey little world. Well, I'm trying to step beyond.
Oh, Midge, I'm sorry. Look, you're far more open than me. You're prepared to consider things that I just find hard to swallow. Let's talk. You tell me some more. I'll throw in my ideas. It's always worked before. What do you say?
Mycroft says he can help me reach my parents.
Oh, babe, no.
I don't want to talk about it. Not with you, anyway.
I sat in the shadowy kitchen and thought about Midge's parents. They died when Midge was in her teens, before I met her. Midge's mother had been ill for years with MS. Midge and her dad nursed her, all three of them clinging on to that terrible roller coaster ride of relapse and remission. Then, as if the shitty hand fate had dealt them wasn't shitty enough, Midge's father was killed by a drunk driver. In the week it took him to die, Midge never left his side. On the day of the funeral, Midge's mother OD'd on a medication. Midge found the body. Her mum left a note saying she'd done it for Midge, so as not to be a burden. That's what Mycroft was playing with. And I hated him for it. To try and cool off, I stepped out into the garden. I suddenly remembered the dark figure I'd seen, or thought I'd seen, watching from the woods. But there was nothing under the trees.
Thank God.
Because tonight, the figure was halfway to the cottage. I saw a pale smear that looked like a face and a slim, white shape of a hand that beckoned.
Who the hell are you?
Mike, what's going on?
What do you want? What do you want?
Mike, there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
all this P&Q, doesn't it get up your nose after a while?
No, Bob, it doesn't.
But don't you miss life?
Look around you. Grammar is teeming with life.
No, I don't mean squirrels and insects and nature. I mean something to do.
Another beer?
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
No, I like it here, Bob. I like the serenity of the place.
Hey, you can be serene when you're dead, man. I mean, look at all this greenery. What's it for, Mike? I mean, you can't smoke it, can you?
Yeah, that's something I've been meaning to talk to you about, Bob. I don't know if you brought anything, but...
you know me. What do you want?
I don't want anything, Bob. And neither do you. Not while you're here, OK?
What?
You know Midge's views. No drugs.
Well, not even Wacky Becky. I mean, that's almost a health food.
Bob, read my lips. No drugs.
OK, OK. I'll get the boring picture. Here. That Val character, Midge's agent, is she for real?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, come on, Mike. The tweeds, the brogues, the moustache.
For God's sake, Bob, she'll hear you. Val hasn't got a moustache.
She looks like my old headmaster.
I invited Val down this weekend because Midge wanted to see her. I also thought it might broaden your mind, meet a woman who's not a bimbo for a change.
Hey, I like bimbos, and they like me.
Talking about your taste in ladies, are you?
Oh, no, no, it's a new girl band I'm promoting, the Bimbos. Now, that's postmodern irony, Val.
How so?
Well, they're all dykey butch lesbians. Hey, Midge, are we going to eat tonight, or does Band-Aid have to do another concert?
I'll tell you, there's a great sociological study to be written about them.
Rock band groupies.
Oh, come off him,
Well, Mike doesn't know. He was never into them.
I should hope not.
For one thing, groupies' motives are not what you might think.
Excuse me, I've got to go powder my nose.
I was daft not to see it earlier. Bob popping to the loo every 15 minutes, reappearing with glazed eyes and a persistent sniff. When I did twig what he was doing, I kept mum. Also daft. But I didn't want to upset Midge. Later, I lay awake in the dark. Val was next door in the spare bedroom. Bob was kipping on a sofa bed in the round room.
Oh, my God, Mike. What is it?
I don't know.
It's from the round room.
Must be Bob.
The walls! The walls are closing in!
Bob, take it easy. It's okay, it's me, it's Mike.
It's so cold in here.
The shadows are alive, moving like animals. This room's different, can't you see?
Bob, everything's okay. You had a bad dream, that's all. Come on. Nothing can hurt you now.
What happened, Bob? What did you see?
Thirsty. I went down to the kitchen. I smelt something. Oh, I heard a voice. I saw... What's that?
Oh, my God.
Mike, what is it?
Don't let it get me. Don't let it get me.
In the kitchen.
Oh, you nearly scared us to death.
Good Lord, why? I heard all the commotion and I went down to investigate. Bob, there's nothing down there.
Help me get him onto the bed.
He was screaming, pointing to the stairs. I thought it might be burglars, so I rushed down immediately.
God, Val, that took balls.
No, Mike, actually, it didn't.
So it was just a bad nightmare then.
No, it was more than that. Bob, we need to know. What were you taking tonight? Come on now, don't be coy.
Chinese.
Oh, no!
What's that, Mike?
It's cheap heroin. He was nipping off to the bathroom to snort it. Bob, I warned you to lay off the pharmaceuticals.
Hey, Mike, tell him off later. Bob, you're okay now. You're with friends.
There was something down in the kitchen.
No, Bob, there was no one there.
Not someone. Something waiting in the dark. Oh, God, the stink. Oh, I can smell it now. Well, can't you? There's something terrible in this place. Something evil.
No, Grammar is a good place.
You're wrong, Midge.
I can't stay here.
Bob, calm down. You've had a bad trip.
You certainly can't drive.
Leave in the morning.
No. I've got to get out. Now!
By the time we'd filled him up with strong black coffee, Bob was a little more composed, though still hardly in a fit state to drive. We begged him to stay, but he wouldn't hear of it. I tried to speak to Midge then, but she turned away and I felt guilty, as if Bob's misbehaviour had been my fault. We had to talk about the cottage and what Bob might have seen, but... well, I knew Midge had a blind spot about Grammarie, so I had to tread carefully. I waited until the following afternoon. Val had gone back to London. Midge and I were alone.
I don't blame Bob for what happened, but I don't want him here again, okay?
Okay. Midge, we need to talk about last night. Bob saw something. It wasn't just a smack. It was Grammarie.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Bob's right. There's a dark side to this place.
He was raving, Mike. He was stoned out of his head.
Who is it?
Up Kinsella.
Oh, bugger.
Harp, come in.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you...
Not at all. Lovely to see you.
How's the arm, Mike?
Fine. Much better.
Great. Look, I don't want to intrude here, but I've got someone outside who'd like to meet you guys again.
Mycroft?
That's right. He's in the garden with Jilly.
Well, bring him in.
Thing is, he's kind of old-fashioned. Likes to be invited, you know, personally. Maybe you could go out and...
Of course. It'll be a pleasure to talk to a civilized man for a change.
How's life at Grammarie, Mike?
Wonderful, Hub. Couldn't be better.
Great, great. Mycroft says it's a special place. He's right, too.
Oh, if you say so.
Mike, good to see you again.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Jilly.
So, tell me, how's the arm?
After Mycroft inspected my arm, Midge took him on a tour of the property. Hub tagged along, leaving me and Jilly alone.
This is the most serene place I've ever visited.
Not lately, it isn't. Domestic problems, never mind.
Oh, so we've come at a bad time?
Oh, no, maybe the company will do me some good. Jilly, I'm curious, how do you make your money?
I have no money. We give it all up when we enter the temple.
Not you personally, the organisation. Upkeep of the temple must cost a bomb.
Mycroft is a wealthy man. Before he became our leader, he owned a large toy company in the United States.
Toys?
Yes. He sold everything and put it all into the temple.
You gave up all your money when he became a synergist?
It was nothing.
What else did you give up, Jilly? Friends? Family?
My family disowned me when I entered the temple. I have all the friends I need. So I gained, Mike. Immeasurably.
Yeah?
Do you want to join us? Is that why you ask these questions? You'd find happiness, Mike. You'd become aware of so many wonderful things.
Such as?
I'm just a fosterling. Only the select have the authority to instruct.
Like Hub?
Yes. Yeah. I can help you, though, Mike. Every fosterling is allowed a spiritual companion. We could talk about other things.
Thanks. You're a sweet kid, Jilly, but... I already have a spiritual companion. Tell me something else. Mycroft's American, right? So why did he come here? Why England? Why this particular spot?
Because this is the source of a... Hop!
Mike, Midge says would you take the wine up to the round room? We'll be up shortly.
Carry on, Jeeves.
The limits on the human mind are self-imposed. Civilization dulls our faculties. It is not by accident that children have greater psychic powers than adults. Feeling sleepy, Mike?
Well, it's just I've heard it all before. It's nothing new.
Shh, Mike.
Well, empirical knowledge tells me I can't fly. I can believe otherwise, but it won't make me sprout wings.
You've been taught to think merely of your physical body. Think of your spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
If this energy is inside all of us, Mycroft, why can't we use it?
We can. But first we must learn to shut out all knowledge that isn't relevant to our true selves.
How?
It takes time and humility.
To become a fosterling, you must surrender your thoughts, your will, You must let the Founder take responsibility for all you do.
As I have.
Well, you don't ask much, do you?
I ask everything. But the rewards are worth it.
Yeah? Like what?
The harnessing of thaumaturgic power.
Terrific.
When we spoke at the temple, you told me that the individual spirit never dies.
It's a truth acknowledged by all the great religions.
And you said we could reach those spirits.
With guidance, yes. But why so cautious, Midge? Voice your hopes.
What hopes?
You told me of your parents, and I told you that their immortal souls can be touched once more. Their voices can be heard.
Midge, no.
Mike, it's what I want more than anything.
I understand your concern, Mike. But surely if Midge can expiate her guilt...
What guilt?
Didn't she tell you?
Tell me what?
Midge, I had no idea you hadn't confided in Mike. I understand, of course. He's not very receptive, is he?
What the hell are you talking about?
When Midge's father died...
Hey, I'd like to hear it from her. Do you mind?
When I went to my father's funeral and left my mother alone in the house, I knew she was going to commit suicide.
No, you couldn't have known.
She talked about nothing else since his accident. And she meant it. I knew that, but I still left her alone.
Oh, Midge, Midge.
I think unconsciously I wanted her to do it. I wanted my freedom.
Why tell them, Midge? Why couldn't you tell me?
I didn't realise, Mike. It was only when I talked with Mycroft that I understood how heavily the guilt has been weighing on me recently.
Yeah, I bet.
Midge needs my guidance, Mike. Surely even you can see that...
Oh, sounds like a storm's blowing up.
We've got to go, Mycroft.
You don't like storms, do you, Hub?
Please, Mycroft.
Seems like none of you do.
We can help you, Midge, if you'll only believe.
Mycroft, for God's sakes, let's go now.
I was seething with anger as I led Mycroft and his two acolytes downstairs and into the kitchen. The cottage seemed to be caught in some kind of a freak gale. I braced myself as I opened the door.
Don't stand in Midge's way, Mike.
Just go. Get out of here.
I'd expected wild, roaring winds. But the night was calm and clear. I was so amazed that I failed to notice the most amazing thing of all. That Mycroft and his friends weren't in the least surprised.
See you, Mike.
Mike, don't forget my offer.
Lying in bed that night, I did a lot of thinking about Mycroft, about Midge, and about Grammarly. I resolved that in the morning I'd go and see Ogborn, Flora Callion's solicitor, and sort out a few things. Sometime in the small hours, I slept. When I woke up, the sky was the colour of faded jeans and the sun was streaming in. Midge was already up. I found her sitting on the back step.
Hi.
Hi.
Mind if I join you?
Go ahead. Notice anything unusual?
No, nothing.
That's right.
Sorry?
No birds, no animals, nothing.
Maybe they found better fare somewhere else.
Maybe.
How are you feeling today?
Confused.
Me too. But not so confused I can't see Mycroft and his creepy little sect for what they are.
Drop it, Mike.
I can't do that. I love you too much. I hate to see you being taken in.
I love you too. Nothing can change that. But if Mycroft can help me sort this out...
Midge, there's nothing to sort. Remember our first evening here? You said you wished your parents could see how happy you were.
So,
Mycroft's taken that perfectly natural regret and twisted it into guilt.
Mycroft can help me. He's the only one who can.
No!
He understands. I'm going for a walk.
Midge!
No, Mike. I just want to be by myself.
And are you and your good lady enjoying life at Grammarly, Mr. Stringer?
No, Mr. Ogborn. Lately, we're not enjoying it at all.
Oh, dear. I'm terribly sorry to hear
that. Which is why I've got a few questions about Grammarly. And about Flora Callion's will.
Mr. Stringer, the will has been published, of course, but Mrs. Callion's stipulations were separate and confidential.
Your responsibility is to the living, not the dead, Mr. Ogborn. I'm not going to leave your office until you tell me everything I want to know.
Oh, Mr. Stringer, this is highly irregular, but I'll do my best.
It was gone six when I got back to Grammarly. Midge wasn't home. I knew right away there was only one place she could be. I decided it would be quicker to leave the car and cut through the woods.
Arnie!
Mike!
Midge is here.
Midge?
Don't play games with me, Jilly.
Mike, you can't just barge in.
Where is she, Jilly? Midge! Is she in here? Happy hour. Midge!
Mike, we're meditating in here now. I think you better go.
Not without Midge.
Midge can't be disturbed. She's with Mycroft. He's helping her to contact her folks.
Oh, no, no. Midge, where are you, Midge?
I told you, don't do that.
Stop!
Mike! Mike! What are you doing here?
I've come to take you home.
No.
You've arrived at an inopportune time, Mike. Midge and I have matters to discuss.
Midge, come home, now.
Please leave.
They want the cottage.
What?
Ogborn told me. They tried to buy it, but Flora wouldn't sell it to them. That was her stipulation, that no one connected with a synergist should ever own Grammarly.
Mike, this is just sad.
That's why Mycroft and his cronies try to drive Flora out. Harassment, persecution, mental torture, those are Ogborn's words, not mine. He said that's what killed her.
Now we're murderers, are we? So why weren't we arrested?
Midge, you've seen how they work. They're subtle and cunning.
Why, Mike?
Yes. Tell us, why would we want your little cottage?
I haven't worked that out yet.
Mike.
Midge, come with me.
Mike, I've just spoken to my parents.
You saw them?
I heard them. They spoke to me. They've forgiven me.
Midge, there's nothing to forgive.
They're happy for me. But they told me there was a path I had to follow.
Oh, I bet they did.
Midge isn't going to come with you now, Mike. You must see that.
Okay, so why don't I stay and watch? I mean, who knows? Maybe you'll even convince me you're not a 9-carat gold-plated phony.
All right. This way, please.
Oh, why the stick all of a sudden, Mycroft? Did you fall off your skateboard?
In here. Do you believe in magic?
My God. All this is a bit elaborate. Just to keep your razor blade sharp. Hey, turn up the dimmer switch, someone.
The form of the pyramid draws in psychic energy. The apex is 30 feet above us. The same shape is repeated below, inverted, so the point enters the earth.
Yeah, well, I hope you got planning permission for this.
Midge, sit as you were before, please.
Of course.
You may do the same.
Well, can't you afford another chair? I'd rather not sit at your feet. It might give the wrong impression.
You never answered my question.
Which question was that?
Do you believe in magic?
Absolutely. Have you got a deck of cards?
Mike, for God's sake.
Can you comprehend that the esoteric energy governing and driving the universe has its exact counterpart within the human mind, and that it is possible to synergize those inscrutable forces, to control them using willpower, disciplined by meditation and inner knowledge, until we are able to transcend material limits and ultimately time and space itself?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
It seems I've overestimated your intelligence.
Gotcha.
Nevertheless, I'm sure you can appreciate that human knowledge currently confines itself to a very limited sphere. Science is concerned only with the material world. Religion recognizes supernatural powers, yes, but it reserves them for God alone. Whereas magic offers divinity to all. We can all be God.
Careful. You say stuff like that and you'll get struck down by a thunderbolt.
You mean like this?
Oh, for God's sake, the little bell, put it out!
Very well.
Oh.
magic of a sort.
So that's why you carry that stick. What next? Sawing the lady in half? Levitation?
If that's what you want.
Doing that?
How indeed?
Mycroft, please!
So, there's the lady. Now for the saw.
No, don't do it! Enough! Are you all right, Mitch?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, great tricks, Mycroft. As good as Penn and Teller and almost as funny.
Do you call this a trick? Look into the darkness. Into infinite space. Feel the tides. The ebb and flow of the universe itself. The tides of time and space, shaping destinies, becoming rock and flesh and emotion. This is the source of everything. All we know and shall never know.
Midge, are you there?
Mike, I can't see.
Wait, stay still. Your sight will return.
What happened?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too.
You had a glimpse of a glimmer of a dream of the infinite. Your minds couldn't cope with what you really experienced, so they made it more manageable, reduced it to mere sound and light.
Well, you've finally impressed me. Now can we leave, please?
You showed your real power.
I revealed a minor channel to power. There are other, stronger conduits.
Find my parents again, please. Let them speak to me.
Midge, no.
Let Mike hear them this time.
He's manipulating our minds. None of this is real.
They want you to listen, Midge. They've got something to tell you.
I can hear them.
Well, I can't hear anything, Midge. Please, let's go.
My daughter.
Midge. Mum? Dad? Can you show yourselves? Can you show Mike you're really here?
Can you see us now?
Mike! Look! They're standing by Mycroft!
Yeah, they would be.
Believe in him.
Trust in him.
Trust in him.
Mum? Dad? Oh, I love you!
It's a trick, Midge! It's just a trick! It's like the thunderbolt on a chainsaw! Those aren't your parents! Mycroft's making you see them.
He's lying, Midge.
Leave this place.
Margaret, my dear, this man is evil.
Midge,
escape while you can.
Leave this house.
Margaret.
Go now.
Mommy.
Go.
Daddy. Mummy. Daddy.
Midge, come on.
Yes.
Mycroft.
Stand back and keep away from us.
What's going on?
Let them go.
You think they'll come after us?
I'm damn sure of it. I'm surprised they even let us go.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. I've been a little crazy for a while.
Don't mention it.
Back in the temple, was it all a fake?
At first, yes. But later, God knows what happened later. Your parents...
It was them, Mike. That last time. It's what made me see Mycroft for what he really is.
Yeah.
If we can get to Grammarie, we'll be safe.
It's not you that found Grammarie, Midge. Grammarie found you. It called you. Don't ask me how or why. Damn, bulb must have gone.
Try the switch by the cooker.
What the hell?
Oh, it's freezing in here.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Mike! What's happened? It's like the place has been hit by an earthquake.
The cottage is dying.
Dying? You're talking about bricks and mortar.
Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, Midge, but Grammarie is dying. Or something within it is. It's energy, it's spirit. It must have started when Flora died. Remember the state of the place when we first came here?
Yes.
Then we moved in. And your presence held the decay in check, even reversed it.
Oh, no, look. The crack's back over the hearth.
Midge, watch out! You okay?
Yes. But I don't feel so safe here anymore.
You find the car keys. I'll get a few things in the bedroom.
Ugh, it stinks in here. Mike!
What?
Look at the walls. What is it?
It's some kind of mould. It's growing everywhere. Oh, no, forget packing. Let's go.
Oh, no.
They must have been right behind us.
I'm going to call the police. Oh. Phone's out.
Well, maybe we can run for it. Hide in the forest.
Come out of there.
You'll be safe with us.
They want us to die, Mike.
Hey, that's a bit drastic.
They made Flora die.
Did we?
Ah! Huh?
Yes, perhaps we did.
Hi, guys.
Let us go, Mycroft. You want the cottage, you can have it. Just make us an offer.
No, we can't, Mike.
You could have helped me, Midge, but you chose not to. You'll be sorry for that.
I know why he wants Grammarie. He let it slip at the temple. It's some kind of channel, a doorway to the power he uses.
I'm glad you were paying attention.
Whoever owns Grammarie is the custodian of that power, like Flora.
That old bitch. But you're right. The magic here is so strong, you can taste it. In this precise spot, there's, well, let's say, a tear in the fabric of the universe from which power is seeping out. Flora Caldian wanted to keep that power for herself. She wanted to stop me from using it, but she was old and feeble.
Yeah, well, I'm not old or feeble. I can stop you.
I don't think so.
What's up? Forget to recharge your wand.
Get them off of me!
Enough! Do you feel that surge, Hub?
Yeah.
It can barely be contained. Be receptive, Hub. Fill yourself with the vitality.
I can do it, Mike. That's why I came here.
Yes.
That's why I was chosen as Flora's successor.
Go on, Mitch. Go on!
Flora, help me now. You fought this evil man, but you were alone, and he was too strong for you. But together we can beat him. I feel your power flowing into me, coursing through my body.
Mycroft, I don't like this.
Listen,
I feel
Midge,
it
let's
surging
talk.
Along my arms.
Zap him, Midge.
No,
to
wait.
My fingertips. And no!
Oh, no.
You have no power! Only I wield power here!
Okay, Mitch. Oh! You okay?
Just about.
You've got a caller.
Hub, grab her.
And you keep still, lady, or I'll break your neck.
Hub can, too, very easily. Now you, let's go downstairs and get rid of your visitor.
Or else...
Stop!
What?
Don't open it!
Oh, don't be ridiculous! Hang on! I'm
no,
coming!
No! Don't!
For goodness sake, Mike. I thought you'd never open up.
Val!
What the devil's going on? I tried to phone, but your line seemed to be down. I talked to Midge this morning. Did she mention it?
No.
She sounded very odd. She said she was going to see her parents. Is it some kind of breakdown?
Get rid of her.
I beg your pardon?
Make her leave. Now!
Who is this ignorant little man? and I saw people outside, hiding in the trees. Oh, my.
Mike, I've been trying to come back, but it's so hard, so hard. I've come to tell you, Mike.
I felt no fear. In fact, I felt blessed. She was small and frail, with the oldest, sweetest face you ever saw, and pale blue eyes piercing into mine. Her breath touched my cheek as Flora Caldium stretched up and placed her hands on my shoulders.
It's you. You're the one. It's you. It's you.
She shuddered suddenly. Her eyes clouded. Her flesh sagged, loosened, fell from her bones. Skeleton fingers slid down my chest, snagged on my shirt, then dropped away. Flora collapsed slowly, her body crumbling to dust even before it reached the floor. I held up my hands. Mysterious energy pulsed through them, and I knew.
Oh no.
Mike, please.
Val, I'll explain later. Or try to.
Could I have a large gin and tonic?
Mike, what's happened to you?
We were wrong, Midge. It's not you. It's me.
No.
I'm Flora's heir. Mike Stringer, full-time skeptic. Hub, let her go.
Get lost.
Oh, please.
Try anything and I'll break her neck.
Mike, stop him. Stop him. Mike. Mike. I felt different for a moment. I must have blacked out. What is he so scared of?
You. You tiger. You.
Animals. Is that the best you can do?
Well, give me a chance. I'm new to this game, but I tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet.
We'll see about that.
Mike, watch out!
Hey, Chenis!
Boss, this place is going down the tubes, and I'm not going with it.
No one runs out on me!
Micro! You killed him!
So I did. Now, Mike, let me show you something you've only glimpsed before in your very worst nightmares. Let me show you hell.
No. No. Falling. Falling into the pit. Oh, the horror. The horror.
Mike. Mike? What have you done to him?
Yeah. Send him to a better place than this.
Come back, please. Oh, Mike. Mike, don't leave me now. I love you. I love you.
Midge. Oh, Midge, thank God.
I was so scared. It wasn't you anymore. It was just an empty shell. Where were you?
You don't want to know. Oh, Midge, thank you.
What for?
For bringing me to Grammary. You're the link between me and Flora and all the others before her, stretching back through time. Midge, hold my hand.
How sweet. Tell me, what are you going to do now?
What are we going to do?
We're going to do
magic!
Couldn't find the tonic.
Paul, come on!
Doesn't matter. Perfect. Just as it is.
Let's go, please!
Okay, okay. Don't shove.
Thank you.
Not as classy as my playing in the round room at Grammarly, but not bad, eh? And I've got no magic to help me now, which I'm glad about, really. Whatever power I got from Grammarly left me when the cottage blew up, or rather, imploded. That's what happened. It went back in on itself, taking Mycroft with it, and closing the channel, shutting off forever the source of that weird, terrible, wonderful power. That magic. The accident investigators concluded that there'd been a pocket of natural gas beneath the cottage and it finally blew its top. Luckily, we were insured, which is how we bought this place in Battersea. And we're doing very well here, thank you, under Big Val's watchful and motherly eye. We're both getting lots of work. I've written a rock musical, and Midge has had some great new commissions. I'd say we're content.
Mike, there's one here. It's just perfect. You'll love it.
Well, almost content.
Desirable property. 18th century stone-built cottage. Spectacular views overlooking unspoiled valley.
In The Magic Cottage by James Herbert, dramatized by Gregory Evans, with music by Neil Brand, Mike was played by Kim Wall, and Midge by Catherine Schlesinger. Kerry Shale was Mycroft. John Sharian Hub, Jenny Lee Val, Gerard McDermott Bob, Sarah Rice Jilly, Christopher Wright the Reverend Sixsmith, Alistair Danson Bickleshift, and John Rowe Ogborn. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The guitarist was Mitch Dalton. Technical presentation was by Rosamond Mason, Colin Guthrie, and Rebecca Kirby. The Magic Cottage was directed by David Blount.